I'd like to invite you to the book of Philippians, chapter 3 again. Philippians 3. It's a blessing and an honor from God to be a part of this nation and for everything that God has provided to us to be here. And thank you all for your prayers, your support, the support of this church. It's a blessing from God to us, and we're really honored to be here. This morning, we're going to go back to Philippians 3, 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 7, and we're going to go on all the way to verse 11 and continue to see the life of Paul and his passion, his drive, and all the things that he's sharing here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if we pick it up back in verse 7 again, it says, "But whatever gain I had," and he's talking of all his abilities, his background, his credentials, and he says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." We're going to stop right there. And we're going to actually just focus on verse 8 and 9. And as I was thinking of this passage, you know, there's so much in this chapter of how Paul lived his life and the passion, the drive, the pursuit of his relationship with God and godliness that he had. And obviously, there's a biography here of this man, the characteristics and the things that he loved, that he had, that he pursued before he was in Christ, and how when Christ came to him, he was living a completely different life. And what I like to think of this passage, you know, as a life worth living, you know, and actually it's just the only life worth living in Christ Jesus, a life where your passion is to pursue Christ with everything you have. And if you remember, throughout the last 2-3 messages that we've been learning here in Philippians 3, Paul was everything we all, in some point in time in our lives, wish to be. He was everything everyone wants to have. And this is amazing because he had great family roots, where he came from, the background of his life, his family. He had an amazing religious background. I mean, he was able to know basically the 5 books of the Bible. He was able to understand a lot of things in the history of Israel. And he had an impeccable morality. I mean, he says, according to the law, I am blameless. He had a perfect life. And he could have stand up and say, you know, I've got it all. I walk the walk, and I am here because of all the effort and the things that I have and where I grew up and where I was born. And in his time, you know, he had the perfect social status. And when you look at his life, the things that he had before Christ, and when you look at the things that we pursue in this world, he had everything sometimes we wish to have. And, you know, obviously when we look at the Bible now, we say, well, being a Pharisee, being having that religious background, or being of the tribe of Benjamin and being a Jew, it doesn't mean that much to us. Not to us, but the perfect social status that he had, it means a lot. And it means a lot because we seek for those things. We want to look good. We want to have that ability to say, you know, I'm here in this position. And that gave Paul a confidence in the flesh to boast of being a man of God. All the things that he had, he was able to say, this is who I am. And we got to understand, God does not see or measures in the same way that man sees. That is the truth of the Bible. In the book of Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7, when Samuel is going to anoint David, Samuel is already having an idea of what he's looking for. And God had to speak to Samuel and say, you know, don't look at his appearance or how high, how tall he is, because I don't look at those things. I look at the heart of man. And we got to be reminded of those things. So this is Paul. This is the life that he was passionately pursuing in the flesh, thinking that he was right. He was chasing Christians, persecuting them, killing them, and bringing them to chains. And he felt that that was his duty. That was his call in life. He felt like he was fighting for something good. And when he pleased God in his mercy and his sovereign power, who set Paul apart even before he was born by the call of his grace, God stopped him in the road to Damascus. And he challenged him. He confronted his sin and he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul fell to the ground right there. And he humbled himself and God stopped him from the road of destruction. So this is amazing because Paul understood at that time that outside of Christ, the things that are exalted among men are an abomination to the Lord. The things that we crave for in this world very often are an abomination to God. And look at this scripture. I mean, in light to his biography here and his testimony, really. And testimonies are powerful in the Word of God because we see how God dealt with people. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to invite you there. Testimonies are great because we see how God dealt with people and especially in the life of Paul. You know, how did he see himself in regard to God, the grace of God, the former things that he used to follow and pursue? And in verse 12 of chapter 1, we read, I thank him who has given me strength, Paul says, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. He was thankful to the Lord, and he was recognizing the call of God in his life. And in verse 13, he says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. You know, people who are unbelievers, you know, they are acting in ignorance. You know, they don't understand the truth. And Paul recognized that right there. And he says in verse 14, he says, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. His grace came and filled me up. And then in verse 15, he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. So he never justified himself. He acknowledged who he was in the former life. Although he used to say in Philippians, he said, you know, he says, these things, if somebody has something to boast in, I have more to boast in the flesh. Because they were fleshly things that meant nothing when he accepted Jesus and understood the call of God in his life. So Paul's life, it's a great testimony of how the valuable things and the things that God has for us are better than anything else. And in an amazing way, God's love and call on him made him realize that those who much is given, much is required. So he was passionate. He was thankful. He was always seeking for the Lord. And we look at this passage in Philippians 3 and we clearly see the definition of the values in life that are worth living in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. How we are to live if Jesus Christ has come into our lives, and what is the passion that should drive us and lead us ahead in our walk with God. And so we're going to look into some of these things back in chapter 3, and I want to take you through that verse, verse 8 first, you know, and just share a couple of things that I see here. Paul says, indeed, I mean, he's emphasizing this over and over throughout the whole chapter of how he's willing to lose everything for one reason. And look at the reason. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So, first thing, he says, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So look at the value. Look at the excellence he's placing in the worth of knowing Jesus Christ. He is referring to this and he's saying, I want more of God in my life. That's my goal. That's my passion. That's my aim in life. I want to know Him. I want to experience Him. That word, gnosis, it's a word that means experientially knowledge or know. And it means really to know someone or knowledge gleaned from firsthand experience when you get to spend time and intimacy with someone. And he says, I want to gain this by a direct relationship with God. And, you know, this is amazing because when Paul realized the call of God in his life, he pressed on to grow in that knowledge of God. And, you know, at that point in time, he started living with eternity in his mind. He started living in the eternal realm of things, the things that God has for him, in his resources, his provision, his providence, and everything that he is. And the Bible says this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is the secret of living in eternity. This is the power of a Christian to get to experience Christ in your own life. And we heard of God, we read of God, of Jesus Christ, His attributes and everything, but to experience Him is a different thing. To know Him in our hearts. And that's something that we need to seek for. His majesty, His authority, the compassion and the love that He's got for us. Everything that He's given us, you know, in heavenly places, to experience His power. And we gotta understand and realize that in Christ, everything holds together. He holds everything together. And as we were singing, you know, in Christ, we have everything we need for ministry in our personal lives. He is more than enough. He is more than enough. And we got to remind ourselves of this. And we got to make a point to grow in Jesus Christ and to understand His will for us. And, you know, in my own life, I was writing a question a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I was asking one thing. I was writing this and I wrote on a piece of paper, what are the things in my life in which I feel unfit to fulfill the call of God? In my personal understanding. And, you know, I started writing things. And obviously there are many things, you know, in which I feel that I am unfit to fulfill the work of God, the call of God. And when I get to the end of this, you know, that's not really the question. I'm unable to fulfill God's call in my life. I don't have what it takes. That was never the question. But when I look at God, when I look at His provision, when I look at His grace to me. And this is something that Paul realized in his life. He says, if I want to obey God and fulfill His call in my life, I got to know Him and experience Him and understand His qualities, His characteristics and attributes. And you know, sometimes we feel that we are incompetent and we are in our own strength. But in Christ, we are conquerors. We are able, not because of us, but because of His grace. And if you want to look at a life that is worth living, it's a life in which you are completely dependent on God and you are trusting Him for every area in your life, for every call in your life. And it takes humility, it takes focus, it takes a heart that is willing to desire Him and commit to Him in every area of our lives. And we live in a time where when we easily get deceived and we get entertained and we lose focus and we go seeking for other things, but we gotta understand the gospel is all we need. His wisdom, His grace. And I wanna go through this, and one thing that I wanna tell you is if we wanna grow in our experience of Christ, we must desire Him above anything else. Look at a way to see it in the book of Matthew chapter 13. How can we desire Christ above anything else? What does that mean? How does that look like? In Matthew 13:44, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So this is the gospel that we're talking about. This is knowing God and understanding everything He's got for us. The kingdom of heaven is like something valuable. Remember the surpassing value of Jesus Christ. It's a treasure, what He is and what He's giving us through His salvation and the work of the cross. And this guy, he finds this treasure in that field. He covers it thinking, I hope nobody sees it, because I found it. I was first. He goes to his property, his house, and he sells everything he owns. But look at how he sells it. With joy, he sells everything that he has to buy that field. Because there's a goal in his life. I want to discover that treasure for the rest of my life. And, you know, we don't stop and say, well, God called me, you know, and I guess I'm going to be a Christian now. You know, I made a commitment to go to church and follow His commandments. You know, that's what I get to do now. I mean, it's not the best thing. No, you're not grudgingly following the Lord. You're excited about everything He's got for you. But if you are not seeing the blessings and the characteristics of God and His power and His what it means to be a Christian, you would be discouraged, aimless in life, without these passions. And you will be living a life that sometimes creates sadness around you. But Paul was passionate. In my personal life, I look at this and I think the secret of the success in the life of Paul was that he gave it all for God. He gave it all. I mean, he looked at his life and in a way he despises everything that he was pursuing. And he sees himself and he says, this is who I am now in Christ. And you got to realize at some point in time in the life of Paul, he didn't fit with the religious people anymore. They thought he was nuts. He's crazy. What's going on with Paul? I mean, look at him. He was changed. But then in the Christian arena, they didn't trust him either. They didn't trust him. They kept thinking he is the persecutor of the church. So he was a man with no people, but he didn't care. He went on to seek God. He went on to pursue godliness. He went on to understand what God had for him. And you know, when you do that, when you know God in such a way, and this is really the thing that we need the most, is confidence and faith that God is able. If I look at my life, two steps and I'm going to be so discouraged, I will hide and I will never do anything for God. But if I look at God, His strength will enable me to go on and on and on. And that's what we want to see. We want to have that confidence. We want to say, God, what are You calling me to do? You got to remember, God has called you for greater things than what you think right now in this very moment of your life. Don't settle with mediocrity. Don't settle for less when God has so many things for you. In your family, in your personal walk. The enemy is going to try to tell you, you're not a child of God. You don't have what it takes. Yep, that's right. You don't. But He is able in me. He is able in me. And as Paul very often used to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in Christ Jesus, I live it through faith. By faith. God is acting in me according to His power. So, you know, how much do you value Jesus over everything else that is going on in your life right now? As you're sitting right here this morning, how much do you value Christ above anything else that is going in your life? Your business, your family, your success, your money, your entertainment, your intellect, your ideas, your background. How much do you value Jesus more than those things? And one question that you could ask yourself is, what are you losing for the sake of the gospel this morning? What can you pinpoint clearly and say, you know, I'm losing this privilege in my job. I'm losing this status in society. I'm losing this position in my family. I'm losing financially because of Jesus Christ and the love that I have for Him. That's what we need to see. And that's who we need to be. And in order to get there, to grow in that knowledge of Christ, and to see that importance of growing in the knowledge of Christ, we must desire Him, but not only that, we must commit to seek Him above anything else in our lives. Look at how Peter ends his letter. 2 Peter chapter 3, he's writing a letter to the church. And as he finishes the letter, this is something powerful here. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. He's ending the letter, this is the saying goodbye, and he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. When you become a Christian, you stand on the rock in Jesus Christ. You are stable now. And storms will come and try to take you down, but you do not lose that stability. How do you do that? Look at verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge. You know, I mean, sometimes you are discouraged. Sometimes you have difficulties in your heart. You got resentments. You got anger in your heart, and you see how Jesus dealt with it. You know how He is giving you the ability and the tools to overcome that. And you get encouraged through it because you know that you have the mind of Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is in yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, God, if you suffer such an ugly persecution and you died for me, how much can I do if I got your power and your grace in my life? And you get encouraged by God. Not only that, it says over there in Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. When you are focusing in God, you, eventually the glory always will be for Jesus Christ Himself in your life. And we got to commit. We got to be challenged and we got to take time and we got to say, I want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We do that, first of all, through the knowledge of the Word of God. We got to understand. We got to read. We got to inquire for God in His Scriptures. And in John chapter 5, verse 36, we look at this way in which Jesus talks about the Word of God. And we got wisdom. We got a structure. We got commandments. We got encouragement in His Word. Look at the Word of God. How can I grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ? Jesus says, the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing right now, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. His Word is a testimony of everything He accomplished on the earth. And they testify of how the Father sent Jesus and He's the Messiah. Verse 37, and the Father who sent me has Himself borne witness about me in the Old Testament through the prophets, obviously. And His voice you have never heard, His form you have never seen. And then verse 38, and you do not have His Word abiding in you, He's confronting them, for you do not believe the one whom He has sent. If we have the Word, we also grow in faith and belief. And then in verse 39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. It is the Scriptures that bear witness of Jesus Christ. So as we read the Word of God and study, we ask the Lord to open our eyes and to give us the understanding of who Jesus is, what He's done, and everything He's got for us. Now, we pray, and we pray seeking the Holy Spirit and His revelation of Jesus to us. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand anything. And right here in John chapter 15, look at these verses. John 15, 26 says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, Jesus says, from the Father, the Spirit of truth, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. The Spirit speaks to us. So we are to be sensitive to the Spirit. We are to grow in our intimacy with God. We come to church, we go to Bible studies, but in our personal walks, when we read through the Word of God, we say, God, what does this mean for me right now? In my personal situations, in my daily life, how am I to trust you? How am I to depend on you? And then in chapter 16, jump ahead a little bit, verse 12, and Pastor Doug was speaking about this, you know, two weeks ago. Look what he says. He says, I still have many things, Jesus says, to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And he's speaking to the apostles, the disciples, how he was to teach them a lot more. But you know, we think that God speaks to us. He challenges us. He convicts us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so often, you know, we stop short and we say, well, I don't understand. I don't like to read. I don't have the time. And therefore, we don't get the knowledge that we need in God. Then in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, I have many things to say to you, but when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. If you have the Word of God dwelling in your heart, and you are sensitive to the Spirit, He will guide you into that truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will speak not in His own authority, but He will speak to the authority of Jesus. And then in verse 14, He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there's an amazing thing that happens when we are sensitive and we pray with an open heart. And obviously, when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we got to know the truth. We got to test all things, as the Bible says. We got to be aware that anything the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and challenges us with or convicts us is in line with the Word of God. But you know, this challenge is for all of us. We are all ministers of a new covenant. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that comes and speaks to our hearts that we are children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. And it is the Spirit who calls to us and says, you are a child of God. Because we struggle with condemnation, with guilt, with being unconfident, and the enemy wants that, but as we continue to grow in His knowledge, we are blocking the enemy, the lies, and we're saying, God is in me, and I'm able to fulfill His purpose. And you want to grow in Jesus, because as you grow in Him, you will gain Him. Let's go back and see this in Philippians again, chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Philippians. Continuing here, I'm going to read verse 8 again. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Goal number one, passion number one of Paul. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. He's losing reputation and status and his background, and count them as rubbish, dung, literally, in order that I may gain Christ. Why am I growing in the knowledge of Christ? Because my passion is to gain Christ. I want to have more of God in my life. And this word is a powerful word, because, you know, it means profit. And when we invest in God, we will profit God Himself. And this was a term used in business, meaning that when we value Jesus more than anything else in our lives, our profit will be Christ Himself and all the things that He has for us. Everything that He has for us. And so you have to be willing to invest. You will invest time. You will invest a lot of things. You will leave behind some things that you don't need, but you will grow in the knowledge of God, and in the process, you will gain. You will gain Christ, His resources, His providence to you, but not only that, you will establish the kingdom of God as He's called you, and on the end, you will be rewarded, and God will be glorified. I mean, look at this verse in John chapter 12. Pastor Doug shared with us last week a lot about how you, if you are seeking for your own life, you will lose your life. But if you lose your life for the sake of the gospel, you will gain eternal life. There's an amazing explanation here in John 12 of how that took place in the life of Jesus, but also it takes place in the Christian. And in verse 23, Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Remember, Jesus came as a servant. He humbled Himself. He left His glory, and He came and humbled Himself to fulfill the role that He was called to. But then there was this time when He was to be raised up after He resurrected, and He says, okay, this is the beginning of the time when I'm going to be glorified. How am I going to accomplish that? In order for me to gain that place that I had in the past, look at what He says. Verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, you gotta lose. You gotta die. Unless you fall into the earth and die, that grain will remain alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Gaining Christ, giving fruit, takes dying in Christ. Then in verse 25, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor Him. If you serve Jesus in such a way, if you seek His face in such a way, you will be honored by God Himself, and you will be fruitful, and you will gain Christ in your personal life. It was God that revealed to Paul that it is possible to have everything a man wishes to have, and yet completely waste his life. And I question those things. I wonder if sometimes we, if it is possible to be in the right family, be going to church every Sunday and Bible studies, if it is possible to have biblical knowledge and even to fight for what is right, and on the end lose your life. Because you're not really growing into the things that you're supposed to. It's just religion. It's just going through the motions. It's just superficial ability to look like a Christian, but you're not really having a personal relationship with Christ where you know that He is your Savior and you are willing to overcome temptations and to avoid sin and to proclaim Him with power among the people in which you live right now. That is our challenge, according to the Word of God. And, you know, when I look at this, you know, I got to understand this creates and builds confidence in the life of a believer. He's growing in the knowledge of God. He's gaining Christ Himself. And now the confidence is there. Not in his own ability, but in the ability of Christ. And there's an amazing illustration in the Bible that I want to invite you to. Because a life well spent is a life in which we acknowledge our personal inability in every area through our own strength. Yet in Christ we trust that we are competent. And this is how Paul illustrates it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. What it meant for Paul, all these things that he's saying, you know, when he says in Philippians 3:3, we're the circumcision, we worship by the Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh anymore. What does this mean? Well, let's see. In verse 1 it says, when I came to you, brothers, speaking to the Corinthians, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Right now, if there's any hint or idea in your mind that God used Paul so powerfully in the first century because of his background, you got to reject that. This is, for me, what opened my eyes to understand this. The same grace and the same power and the same strength that I need in my life to minister to other people and to do what God has called me to do, the same need that I have was in the life and in the heart of Paul himself. Do you agree with me on that? And that's hard. Because when I look at Paul, sometimes I justify that God used Paul because of his background, but no, that's not true. Paul went preaching the gospel and he says, when I went to you, I did not proclaim the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I did not base the testimony or the gospel or the power of God in my ability to do it. In fact, he says in verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So then I say, Lord, so whatever moved Paul to preach the gospel with such an anointing, it's able to be there for me. That same power is available for me. Then I can. Then it's possible. It's not about Paul. It's not about him being a Jewish. It's not about him being of the tribe of Benjamin. It's not about him knowing so much of the Old Testament. It's about him being surrendered to Jesus Christ and trusting Him for everything. And that is the heart of the gospel. That He can use any of us when we really grow in our knowledge, when we gain Christ, and when we're willing to die as a grain of wheat and to be fruitful for Him. In fact, He says in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I mean, He had struggles. He was not the superhuman walking on water every day. No, he had struggles. And in verse 4 he says, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God, work in me. And I really read these things and I thought, what it means for Paul to say, I decided to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And sometimes we say there's power in the cross. There's power in the power in the work of Jesus Christ. There's power in His redemption and everything that He did. But yet, So often we want to work it up in our own strength and use fleshly things in order to attract people to the gospel because we feel that the message of the gospel in itself is not enough. But if we really look into the scriptures, if we really grow in the knowledge of God, if we really become competent in Him, nothing will stop the Christian from proclaiming His name and from revealing that majesty to other people. But the thing is, sometimes we don't believe in this gospel that we proclaim to have. We don't. So we have to act things that are not biblical in order to promote the gospel. Because we feel like it's not, what we're saying of God is not enough. So we got to rest in this. And there's an amazing way here that we see in 2 Corinthians now how Paul speaks of himself and just puts it all in the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 3:4. And he says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Look at how he grew in confidence. Such is the confidence that we have to Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We are competent to be ministers of a new covenant. Not because of our background or the history that is in us, but because God is able. And this is what made Paul be a different man, a proclaimer of the gospel. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we will profit in Christ. And we will grow in our ability to be ministers of that life. And when we serve and live by the flesh, we will find disappointment. But when we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we gain confidence and we minister others and we minister them well. So in the end, you know, going back to Philippians chapter 3, and it's kind of hard to stop in verse 8 because of the way this idea is, you know, and we continue on. We see the truth here and how Paul goes on and on and explodes with this idea of growing in Christ. He says, that I may gain Christ on the end of verse 8. And then he says, and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Look at the contrast. In verse 4 he said, I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And that's when he goes on and on explaining who he was. But now in Christ, in verse 9, he says, I don't want that righteousness. I want to be found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which comes through faith, through confidence in the gospel and what he's done for us. And this is really a perfect balance of how Paul growing God, he gained God, and everything went according to the will of God. And when things went well, he was able to say, it is all the grace of God. It is all his power in my life. And as we grow there, you know, God will be glorified and we will understand what it means to really be passionate for God and understand it's all about His grace. I want to finish with this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, because he explains clearly what that meant for him in his personal walk with God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 through 11. Look at how he's not humbling himself just for the sake of being modest. He's doing it because he realizes where the source of power is and who gets the glory in his life. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I mean, the gift of salvation that God produced in Paul, he said, this is not in vain. He forgave me so much. I love him that much. And he says, on the contrary, I work harder than any of them. He was passionate to work, to act in the Lord. And then even when he says, I work harder than any of the other apostles, he says, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. There are some ideas at times when you think God had to call Paul to fulfill the ministry that the other apostles couldn't fulfill. And so he had to bring Paul along. But let me tell you, it was all God. God can use anyone. And as we finish right now, I want to ask you one thing. How many of you believe that God can use me? How many of you believe, with all your heart, that God can use you where you are? See, for me, sometimes it's easy to say, God can use Pastor Doug or Hal or Mark back here. I mean, God is able to use them. And sometimes I justify and excuse myself and I say, I don't think God is able to use me in this area. I'm not able. I'm not able in my own. But through Jesus Christ, I live in victory. And if I surrender everything to God, and my passion is Him, and I leave everything aside and I fix my eyes on Jesus, I will see victory. So this morning, you know, whatever you're going through or struggling with in your personal life, let me tell you, this is something that I talk to me, to my own life a lot. God is for you. He wants you to grow in His knowledge. And He wants you to be confident in Him. And that when you accomplish something for God, you'd be able to give Him the glory back. Trust in Him. Grow in faith and in confidence with the Lord. Let's pray to the Lord this morning and let's ask God to give us that confidence. And I feel that very often we struggle in those areas of ministering other people and serving God. Lord, we thank You this morning. We worship You. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are sovereign. And Lord, we acknowledge that without Your will or Your power, not even one hair of our head will fall to the ground, Lord, according to Your word. That means, Lord, You are powerful. You have authority over everything. And we want to pray that we be able to align with Your authority, surrender everything to You, and let ourselves be used, Lord, through You, by You, through the knowledge of Your gospel, through the knowledge of Your nature, Your characteristics, Your attributes, and also through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that we quit trusting in the flesh and having confidence in the flesh, but that we will trust You, Your word, Your commandments, Your provision for us. Lord, we want to be used. We want to be used by You. And very often we have an understanding of how that is, Lord, that is completely opposite to what the Bible says. And rather than doing that, Lord, right now we want to stop and we want to surrender everything and we want to say, Lord, we want to commit to seek You, to find You, and to gain You, Lord, and to be found in You, in Your righteousness. Thank You, Lord, for this morning, for Your word, and for the testimony of Paul to our lives. In Your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.